Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the first show of June.
Ah, summertime.
Summertime.
Yep.
Summertime.
Yep. And you know what they say, sell in May and you will pay.
I thought it was
sell in May,
sell and,
go away.
Was it buy away, buy in May and go away?
It was sell in May and go away. That's what it's always called.
But oh, yeah, sell in, yeah, right.
But in this case, this May was sell in May and you will pay. It was a good month, May.
Well, so far.
Well, May's done. It's in the books. It's gone. It's over.
Oh, I guess it is over. You can't do anything about it.
So maybe sell in June and avoid the swoon.
Well, whatever. We got to sell someday.
Yeah. Sell in June. You did it too soon. Anyway, we have riots. We have a China spat. We have social unrest. We have pandemics. No market impact.
It's got everything. 2020 has been chock full of surprises.
And coming up this month is hurricane season down in Florida.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, just to round it all off, right? Another reason to not go outside. I mean, it's amazing. Listen, let's be honest. This, whatever the cause would be, the potential for social unrest was very, very high.
Yeah, you lock everybody up, make them stay at home, then you fire them. So there's a lot of unemployed people that have no, they don't know what's going to happen. And so you have it just created a workforce for rioting.
Yeah. And then
it's almost as if it was planned.
Right. But again, I just got to end this point with markets have not even budged. As a matter of fact, every time they seem to move to the downside overnight, it's like you wake up in the morning, you know, you go to sleep, say 11 or 12 o'clock, and, you know, futures are kind of rolling down a little bit, to down 100, 120 points. You wake up 6 a.m., like they're up 100 points. Like, what happened? Where'd that go? So crazy kind of situation. I think it's no longer about valuation. It's all about the casino, which we'll talk about a little bit. We have to talk about economics. Lots of things happening this week. I guess who cares there? Earnings. We've seen a nice bunch of earnings. Zoom came out. We'll talk about that, but who cares? And we are seeing a rotation. It's the very beginnings of a rotation from growth to value. Now, that may only last a week like it did last week. It was really pretty substantial and very apparent. It happened again today, where the early cyclicals, the banks, energy stocks, consumer staples really did very, very well, even consumer discretionary for that matter. And the technology and healthcare is underperforming, the ones that were really rocking for a while there. So I don't know if it's going to be something that is long-lasting. It hasn't been in the past 2 years anything longer than a few weeks.
Yeah.
And it goes back to buy the tech again. The Fed is committing to everything, no matter what it takes. They've talked about how, and now they're starting to sneak in the discussion about negative yields, negative interest rates. It's starting to just percolate.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this has been percolating for about a year. And they've just amped it up over the last month. And so now they're taking it. Now it's showing up a little bit more in the news.
I mean, I think they're doing it for trial balloon purposes and to make sure that everybody's comfortable with it.
Yeah, probably right.
But they are starting to see how, even though like Jerome Powell's like, no, not going to happen. But we're starting to see like there was somebody on today talking about negative rates. If we want to get a V recovery, we need to do negative rates. And that's
explain that one to me.
I don't know. I have no idea how that works because it destroys the banks. It destroys the financial system. And I guess what it does is it forces money out theoretically into the hands of out of the hands of banks into people that are borrowing money. But right now we have the Fed that is totally flushing money into the system through corporate bonds, municipal bonds, ETFs, government bonds. I don't know how much more we can possibly flush into the market without making this thing just totally break apart. It's absurd how much money they're throwing into the market. Well, not the market, the stock market, but into the markets, the financial system markets.
Yeah, all of them.
So this is what we have. So you take that, and when I talked about the casino, it's like the casino is open, and the house is giving away chips.
Well, I've noticed a couple other things. I have a little interest in the art and collectibles market, which I do trade in.
Mm-hmm.
And I dumped a bunch of wine over the last 6 to 9 months mm-hmm. into the market to get rid of it. Because I, for one thing, there's two things that happen. You have wine, you aren't going to drink it. It's worth too much to drink, which is a real problem. It's like, should I drink this wine? It's going to be delicious. No, it's worth too much. Right. Sell it. And my instinct on that, when I'm given this drink, it's not a make buy decision. It's a drink sell decision.
Oh.
And it always leans towards sell.
Do you at least save one bottle so you can savor it?
I've usually had the wine already.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's rare that I haven't.
Right.
Once in a while, I'll pick up some wine that's a pure investment. I just sell and never taste it. And this thing is actually held up. I expected, because I sent a batch in like a few months back, and just before the pandemic, and it didn't change anything.
I think there is this. I really do think there is a couple of different things going on here. I think there's a lot of people that are taking their money that they got from the government and they're putting it into the stock market. Not everybody, but some people are doing that. I think there are some people are saying also, you know what? The hell with this savings crap. I've been working my ass off all my life. And you know what? I'm getting some money in. I got some money in the bank. And you know what? I could have died. I mean, I had this potential that scared the hell out of me, this whole COVID virus thing in the beginning. And you know what? I'm going to live it up a little bit. Let me get that wine. Let me get that, you know, the potential for that new car or the Winnebago, or I don't know, just spend some money.
That has to be the explanation.
I mean, people were spooked.
It makes no sense any right, other way.
Right. And if you have interest rates as low as they are, they're like, the hell with it. We've created a moral hazard over the years that there's always going to be, and we talked about this last week on the whole idea of socializing capitalism and how there is this whole baseline instinct now that, you know what? Because most of the people that are now that have money, the millennials that grew up through all this, always were in an environment that somebody was paying for stuff if they couldn't afford it. If it wasn't their parents, where they were living in their house, buying their car, paying for their insurance, when they get out into the workforce, worst comes to worst, the government's going to come to the rescue. So the hell with it. You know what? Somebody's always going to pay for my deal. Might as well.
Yeah, I would consider that to be a bad attitude.
It's a bad attitude because we all know, and we come from an environment because we're older and in a different time where if we didn't do it for ourselves, too damn bad. I mean, it's not like, you know, my first car that I got was a Camaro. It was a 1970 Camaro Rally Sport split bumper 307. We did a lot of work on it, but that was 1983. Okay, I got a 1970 car that was all beat up. It was cool as hell. It was a Camaro. It was my grandmother's. She gave it to me. And that's great. That doesn't mean I'm privileged because I got a car, because I had a lot of work that I put into it. And then once I get it all put together, you know what happened? My parents decided, you know what? That car, it's not fuel efficient. It's got little problems with it. It's old. You should sell it. So they sold it. They kept the money. And then
they sold your car out from under you?
That's correct.
Wow.
And then, but they did give me their car, which was only about 3 years old. This is embarrassing.
It was a station wagon.
See, it's worse. It was a Pontiac T1000. It was a white four-cylinder, 0 to 60 in 3 minutes Pontiac T1000. And with that, they gave me the remainder of the payment book. You like that, huh? That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's tough love.
Yep. When I wanted to get my first apartment, I didn't have enough money. My dad took me to the bank. We went to the bank. He said, listen, when you go in there, don't tell them it's to get an apartment. Tell them it's a furniture loan. I'm like, a furniture loan? What's that? He said, I'm telling you, it's a furniture loan. I'm like, okay. So we go in. Hi, I'd like to get a furniture loan. The banker's like, what? You know? So he wouldn't sign off on it. But I got a $1,500 furniture loan to pay down my apartment and to get some furniture and to move into my first place. Yep. Tough love. That's what it was. Tough love. But in the end, I feel much better for it. And that then seemingly set the stage for me to then buy my son his first car, pay for his insurance, get him anything he wants, and my daughter's as well. So,
yeah.
I helped create this madness.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they weren't given like the same kind of economic opportunity. I know the kids, the millennials in particular. When I was a kid, I could always get a job in the summertime, maybe two. And I could always make – in fact, I can get a union job in the summertime if I played my cards right. And I'd walk out of the summer in high school and in college. I'd leave that – I'd have that whole three-month period to myself, and I would make a lot of money. You can't even get a summer job anymore.
And even if you wanted to have a little
good paying union job,
even if you wanted to have a little gig like the old days where I'm going to go around, I'm going to create a car wash company, which I did, where I can go around, put a bunch of flyers out there. Nobody gives a crap about that. Now they're just going to do something on their smartphone and, you know, carwashtome.com or something.
Well, there is that element.
Yeah.
I just don't think the opportunities are there.
I hear
you. Because they said all the opportunities are in China.
All the opportunities in China?
That's where they moved all those jobs. All these little diddly shit, little metal shop, metalworking right. jobs, all these machine shops. I just not one around here that I know of.
Right.
All the things that we would do here for summer jet work, because they always like to hire some kids to work in the summertime. And they would just do it out of goodwill. They don't make, I could just go, every job I had does not exist.
Oh, really?
They're all in China.
Oh, yeah. Right. I also worked on those temp jobs. There's a place you'd call up, and I knew the owner, so he got me some decent jobs. But I worked at, like, Muzak. Remember Muzak? The company, yeah. That, you know, the elevator music. I worked there for a little while.
Still around. I knew the guy was the CEO for a while.
So let me tell you what else is happening. We also have the grand reopening continuing. We have restaurants and bars crowded down here. I don't know what's happening in your neck of the woods in terms of...
Well, there's nothing like that here.
No?
It's a Democrat area. They got everything shut down. Everything has to still be to go. And now we have curfews. 8 o'clock at night, boom, don't leave the house. This is not like the stay-at-home order. This is a curfew.
Well, that's because of the riots.
Yeah.
But the stay-at-home order, is it over?
As far as I know, it's not.
Yeah.
They're relaxing it.
Right. Well, down here, there's a couple blocks in Fort Lauderdale, and you can go down there, you peer into the restaurants, and you're like, wow. And the bars, lines out the door.
Really?
Yep.
What about the social distancing? Is everyone wearing a mask at the bar? How do you drink?
They don't. You know, this is young people. Fort Lauderdale, man. I guess they figure
what?
It's Fort Lauderdale. I guess they figure they can catch worse things in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. You know? We're concerned about the STDs.
Right. Last week, though, with this relaxation and how the curve is flattening, we had the highest weekly new case count on record on a global basis. Highest weekly. You know, and they're talking about things like they're bragging in Texas. Oh, you should see our numbers. I don't know what numbers they're looking at. Maybe I'm looking at different numbers. I don't know, maybe. But the numbers that I see, not looking so good. Big spike in Texas. Highest daily count in the history of the daily counts yesterday.
Yeah, but isn't that because they're just doing more testing?
I don't know, but the point is, how do they brag about they have lower case counts if they have more? I don't understand. Whether they're doing testing or not.
Death rates. I don't know.
I don't know.
Something's, I'll ask Adam.
Yeah, ask Adam. Something's not right with that. But now what we have is this this rioting and protesting and all these problems. Now, the rioting... there's a police station, I would say a half a mile from my house, not too far. And they were walking down the street and we heard the pops and firecrackers and all sorts of stuff the other night. And then they were, my wife's like, what do we do? I said, listen, we have hurricane glass, shut the doors, lock the doors, we'll be fine. Just fine. As long as they don't put the tiki on fire, we're in good shape, right? So
that's right. You got a little grass shack in your backyard.
Yeah, just throw a little bit of a little Molotov cocktail on that thing. So now because of all of this, we were reopening and now retailers and bars have to close again. Restaurants closing again at night. And it's not, with the curfew, it's even worse than the stay-at-home order. During the stay-at-home order, you can get food delivered, but the restaurants have to close, totally close. When is this ever going to end?
Well, they'd like to keep it going until November and get, and maybe somehow get people to invite for doddering old white man Joe Biden and make him president. But I don't think they can maintain this this intensity more than another couple of weeks. And then it's the middle of summer and everyone's going to be partying.
I don't listen. I hope that, by the way, I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly here, but it does seem like the potential for further spike of cases with all these people mulling together is a little bit higher than it was before. And now it seems like the whole, you know, stay at home order is out the window.
Well, not completely in California. It's just they're staged. It's staged.
New York City. You see what's going on there?
Whatever they're doing, it's nuts.
It's crazy. And the two main things that they're going after, right? Well, they destroyed Macy's on the big Macy's in Herald Square. They're going after sneakers and footwear, some electronics. Although Apple said, everybody, hey, listen, by the way, if you steal the Apple phones, once you turn those on, we're going to track you and find out exactly where you are and report it to the police. That's pretty good. At least they have that technology to do that with, I guess.
They do it with the laptops, too.
Yeah, I'm saying with any of these devices. So that they're kind of, I guess, safe.
I think, by the way, some of these smart TVs, you can do the same thing. I think people are making a mistake when they're stealing a smart TV. And most TVs nowadays are smart TVs. And they have serial numbers that are known. And all they do is put the serial number into the system. This is like the idiots who try to make Confederate money using a little printer in their computer printer. They don't realize that every sheet of paper is coded by the printer, identifying the exact printer that printed the sheet. It's kept hush hush, but it's known fact amongst the techies. And the same thing with these smart TVs. I think they're just going to track them down and go in there, and people have a lot of explaining to do. I bought it from a guy down the street. Might not work out.
Hopefully this will not cause, everybody's talking about how this is going to cause the next problem for the markets. But like I said, it's almost like it's a good thing. We saw this some time ago, that anytime there was any global catastrophe, an earthquake or a tsunami or a Fukushima meltdown, markets are like, hey, time to go up.
Over the last few years, yes.
Yeah, so this is just another one. It's like
nuts.
Let's just take markets up.
Unless this thing goes past 30,000, I'm not buying any of this.
Yeah. Getting close. Well, a little while ago, I guess. OPEC, they're talking about extending the production cuts for a short while because that's, bullish on crude. They need to get through the month of June because if you remember what happened a couple months ago when the price went negative, the same situation is happening. I mean, the June contract at one point was, I think, $6. It's now at 37, 36. And what's interesting about that is there still is a lack of storage facilities. So the question is going to be when this contract comes to maturity.
What happens?
Are people going to be thinking, oh, I'll be happy to take that delivery? So oil is seemingly, they're all excited about oil right now. That was a pretty good trade from $6 to $30 a barrel profit in a month is pretty substantial.
Yes, that's a real winner.
And we're back to our trying to point a finger or at least go after China. And then China's retaliating. We talked about how, we're going after China because of the coronavirus. We're concerned about their technology issue, technology and IP and all that, and concerns about what's going on. President Trump's very upset with him. China now has asked the state-owned firms to halt purchases of soybeans and pork from the United States after we said last week that we're going to eliminate the special treatment we give for Hong Kong to try to punish Beijing. So,
well, I don't know how that punishes Beijing.
Well, it's part of China, right?
Well, now, I mean, it was always part of, I mean, okay, it wasn't, they have a contract with the people of Hong Kong where they have to let them do self-rule for another 7 or 8 years. And they've broken the contract with the people of Hong Kong. And in doing so, Trump says, well, now if you're not going to play by the rules and you're going to just take this place over, then now you're just an extension of China.
Right.
We're going to put the same rules on the Hong Kongers that we do on you. And it includes, you know, you have to get a visa now to go to Hong Kong. You always used to be able to just fly to Hong Kong if you felt like it. Although in the last 20 years, I don't know why you'd want to, because it's so expensive.
So expensive.
It's like 10x what it is in China. You so just expensive. Go to China. Go to Shanghai. You can save a lot of money.
And Shanghai is expensive for China.
Well, if you go into Beijing, or yep. if you actually forget it, go to some of these other little towns.
Yeah, Chengdu.
Xiamen. There's Xi'an, a lot of... Yep. There's a lot of places you can go.
Probably get a cheap hotel right now in Wuhan. I would think.
I hope.
Yeah. But now China is saying they could also expand the order to include additional U.S. farm products. And then we get this happened kind of over the weekend. But yet on Monday, we get a report that China purchased at least 180 tons of soybeans for shipment in October, November. So I don't know. I'm so sick of the news. I'm just sick of the information flow that seems to be constantly contradicting everything to make everything look better or worse, depending on which side.
Yeah.
But China puts that out, and then they have this. Now, whether or not that purchase was a planned purchase that was already in process on a planned systematic purchase of soybeans as a part of the skinny partial trade phase one trade deal, but they did clearly state, and they said in where was it? It was the state-owned newspaper that they said they're going to stop buying this. So I don't know. Maybe it was just a threat. Who knows? We have an update on the PPP program, the Payroll Protection Program. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor says that the Senate will quickly pass the Small Business Relief Bill, which gives businesses more time to spend the relief money. So it goes to 24 weeks. And I believe it's 60%. So it was 75% of the monies that you received, you had to pay in salaries, and you had 8 weeks to pay it in order to get the loan turned into a grant or a relief. Right. Okay. So now they extended it to 24 weeks, which is a long time, by the way. It's like almost six months. And only 60% has to be utilized for salaries. So the rest of it, if you want to spend money on stuff, I don't know, you know, certain things, you maybe
stock buybacks.
Well, no, you can't use that. But, you know, it's certain qualifying expenses for running your business. So, therefore, even if – but I don't think they said – so I guess the point is that you can spend – you don't have to spend all the money is the point, right? You could spend at least 60% of the money has to be used for salaries. I don't think you're required to spend all the money that you got. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's possible that that's what's going on, but it doesn't make sense. What's the point?
Well, the point is that the business will have more money in their coffers to kind of make sure they're doing okay.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
It's all part of that same thing where you buy the car for the kids and you pay the insurance.
Right, exactly.
We're all the kids now.
We are. We are the kids that expect everything from the government. That's what I said. I mean, the price discovery process is shot to hell. And, you know, when we talked about last week about, you know, well, where's the opportunity and can we short some junk bonds? No. Fed's got that. What's it about the municipalities? No, can't do that either. So the riots are being blamed on Antifa. I'm sure on No Agenda, which is airing every Thursday and Sunday at 12 p.m. with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, the best show in the universe, the best podcast in the universe. Which one is it? Best podcast. Yeah. Best podcast.
It'll be the best show.
Yeah, you could take both categories, okay? Is all being blamed on Antifa, an anti-fascist group, if you haven't known about them, which you should. And President Trump says that he's going to designate them a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
So the number of arrests that have made, I talked to some people from the news. I have some friends in the local news, and I have some people at the Broward Sheriff's Office, and they told me that if you look at the number of people that were arrested, let's call it, I don't know, 100. Let's just say that number, okay? Only like 20 of them, or maybe 25, were locals. The rest were from Minnesota, Chicago, you know, pick your town, Kentucky, wherever it is. They're all, it's like, what did they come in here just to cause trouble? And they bust them in, right?
They probably drove in on their own.
And then some of these guys have like bricks in their car. They're handing them out to people.
Oh yeah, the bricks thing. These guys, that's an Antifa trick. You stockpile bricks all around the city where you want protesters. You kind of guide the protest movement, and then one of the troublemakers starts by, "Hey, look, bricks! Let's start throwing them." And then next thing you know, they're throwing bricks, and next thing you know, they're looting, and the next, you know, it just becomes a nightmare. If there are these stockpiles of bricks around, and people should just call the police and say, "We found some abandoned bricks. We're going to take them because bricks are worth money." Okay. Get a truck to load up the bricks, take them to your house. You can use them for making a barbecue.
What is the end game for Antifa, except for the fun of watching everything go to hell? Aside from that, what's the end game?
Well, if you go look at the website, you can figure out their end game is they want the destruction of the country and overthrow of the government. They say it on their website.
Where does that get them? Where does that get them?
A lot of them came out of Portland. That's where the Antifa movement has really done a lot of its test marketing. They come off of all the campuses, or a lot of just graduate, you know, people that just graduated from college and they don't know what else to do. And they've been radicalized by the college professors. A lot of people don't want to admit to that. The curriculum has really gone downhill. It's just about, you know, instead of taking useful courses, you take gender studies, a very valuable course of study. And they get everybody, they've radicalized. They've done, and the media is mostly responsible. They've done the best job of doing it. I don't want to sound like a old crank, but I think they hate the country.
The media hates the country or Antifa?
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That was terrible. I understand the protest. I understand how the protest can get, you know, you get hot under the collar and you can start rioting. And I understand that people are angry and angry at all sorts of things. And in fact, even if they're not angry necessarily at this one particular situation, they're taking their anger out on it for all the things of sitting in the house, of having to stockpile toilet paper, of worrying like all hell that they're going to catch this thing, the concern about the kids, the family. I get all that, right? Not being able to do your things that you do in your life, in your social life, losing your job, not having any money. I get it totally. But it seems like unfortunately, there's no way to really pull these guys out. But this is just, it's downright terrible. It's downright terrible. I don't know if you watch this guy Gottlieb. He's the former FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb.
I've seen him a couple of times.
I like him. I think he's a straight shooter. Anyway, he's warning that an uptick in coronavirus infections are going to happen after the widespread protests. And he says,
we'll see.
Yeah. Target closing down because of this, their stores. Who was else? There was a couple other places closing down.
We have a nearby Target store, and the local report was about 5 o'clock. It was yesterday. They got an announcement over the PA. All customers, drop everything you've got and leave the store immediately.
Wow.
And they made them all leave, and they boarded it up. It was open today, though.
What?
I went out and bought different things, and I was seeing some Best Buys are all been boarded up completely.
What? And Amazon? I've been waiting on orders, and now tonight they're telling me try to deliver your order. It's can't be delivered. I'm like, I know that people are home, so I don't know what the problem is. The second computer I bought from Amazon that can't be delivered somehow, magic.
Well, we've been ordering from Amazon, and everything's been delivered. But I've heard that some pockets in the country, Amazon truck, the drivers won't go there or something. You must be in a, you're in a bad area.
Well, it could be also here. Here's something. If they were supposed to deliver and they were running past the 8 o'clock, cause they said it was going to be delivered by 9 PM that, oh, that 8 o'clock be. Curfew, they couldn't deliver.
Well, you have a curfew.
Yeah. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock curfew. I'm breaking it right now to do this podcast.
Well, you're seriously. Not out of the house.
I'm out of the house.
I'm in my office. Oh, you are out of the house.
Yeah, I'm breaking curfew to do this.
Oh, wow. Wow. I admire you for that.
I already talked to a couple of people, making sure they had cash on hand in the event I needed to be bailed out.
Bailed out.
Seriously. I said, you know what? You got cash at the house? Yep, okay, I got some cash at the house. In the event I need to be bailed out, you know what to do. But no, you can actually travel to your place of work and home. So
yes, in fact, most of the curfews orders that I've seen say you are okay if you're returning from your place of work.
Right. And of course,
so you're not violating anything.
I'm essential media.
I've lost all respect for you.
I'm essential media. Right.
I don't think that applies. Oh, yes. Actually, media, yeah. I think, is exempted from the curfew.
So I'll have them call you. You're going to be my backup man on this one.
Oh, it's no problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Just tell them when the cops say, you're what? You say, I'm media. Say, what do you do? Who do you work for? I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, that's it.
And they go, oh, a podcaster. Right. Oh, my God. If I had any idea, just go ahead, sir, Mr. Podcaster. Head for home.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, Mr. Podcaster.
Well, yeah. The Fed's on a buying spree. It has a new facility that's available for corporate bond purchases. It bought $1.3 billion of shares in 15 exchange-traded funds or ETFs in its first week of operation through 158 trades. The Secondary Market Corporate Facility Fund, the Secondary Market Corporate Credit Facility Fund, made the purchases from 10 securities firms between its launch on May 12th and May 18th. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. It's really important. There's a little... something in here that's very fascinating. So its largest holding as of May 19th is a total of $326 million in the iShares iBoxx U.S. Dollar Investment Grade Corporate Bond Fund, symbol LQD. That's one of the bond funds we look at that are corporate bond funds, okay? The yeah. third largest U.S. taxable bond fund out there, ETF out there. Okay, that fund... its largest holdings are bonds in such places as Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and AT&T, as well as Verizon. In other words, this was a backdoor bank bailout.
Oh, wait, let me get this. What's the symbol again?
LQD.
LQD. And it was a backdoor. Oh, that's interesting. It's a backdoor. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you written this up in your newsletter?
Just right here. I'm releasing it right now.
This is fantastic. This is a great scoop.
Yeah, I should put this out.
Yeah, that's exactly what you described is exactly what it is, a backdoor bailout. Very smart.
Yep. So they're saying they're going to buy this, and you know the whole idea was, hey, they're going to buy all these different bond funds, and they bought other ones too. But they were going to be buying these funds of companies that are below investment grade, because a lot of these companies, not necessarily the banks, but a lot of companies out there that maybe were just on the edge of investment grade are going to be on the potential list for downgrades. And as such, they have to be sold from a lot of places. For example, this fund, the LQD, it's an investment grade corporate bond fund. If your bond is less than a triple B, what's going to happen is that it's going to be have to be sold from this fund as an example, okay? And pension plans that require investment grade and other mutual funds, et cetera. Now, the idea was they're going to be buying one level down, therefore a gentleman's agreement that, hey, ratings companies, all right, we got this thing set up. We got the deal ready to go. If you downgrade them, not a big deal, because even though it'll be sold, we're going to be the ones buying them. Therefore, they're not going to see a big price difference. In addition to that, usually with the drop in the rating, they're going to have a commensurate increase in the yield, because companies that have a lower rate are going to pay a higher yield for people to borrow money, right? So now, because there is an automatic buyer there, they're not really going to have a drop in their pricing. So it now saves them from spending extra money on this. It's a giant scam. I mean,
this is a giant. You're right. This is a fantastic discovery on your part.
Yeah. Giants.
I haven't read about this.
Yep.
I mean, I know about some of the bond buying and all of what they're up to, but I never thought of this angle.
Yeah. This is all about flushing money into the system very quietly. And that's why this is one of the reasons why the market is doing so well, because the liquidity issue and the concern about the credit facilities and the markets in the fixed income area are not going to freeze up with $1 trillion of money that's available for them to do this. This was created under the CARES Act. It was like $500 billion that they were able to like leverage 20-to-1 somehow. Don't even ask me how they did that. Magic. Turned into like $1 trillion to be able to be buying this stuff. So.
Wow. I love creative bookkeeping.
Very creative.
It's fascinating to study it. And the guys who can do it or come up with these ideas, they really should be lauded. And a lot of them become very rich, but I think a lot of them probably should be rich with this kind of a brain.
Yeah, of course. But the only problem is you can only do this kind of thing.
You can't do it forever.
You can't do it forever. No, that's right. That's exactly the point. And you can only do it if you have an unlimited amount of money, an eternally long period of time that you can wait, and no concern about if it goes bust, because you just pour more money into it. It's going on for years in Japan.
This is going to be fun. This is fun to watch.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like it.
No, this is unbelievable. This is why you have coming out tomorrow, another 11 million people will be on the unemployment rolls through ADP private employment. And we'll talk about some of the other things that will be happening this week as well, and why you can have an economy that you have 40 million people unemployed and the markets are like, ha ha, good news.
Up.
Yeah, let's move it up. Which is another reason why I think there's going to be this continuation of the riots. Talk about a discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots in this situation.
Yeah.
So
some element of that, that's for sure. Yeah.
Here come the price hikes. United Parcel Service, UPS, on Monday, they announced that, it was actually before Monday, it was Friday, I guess, or Saturday. They were going to slap a surcharge on U.S. e-commerce companies that flooded its delivery network with shipments of everything from packaged foods into patio furniture since the coronavirus took hold in March. Look at companies that are in the furniture business, like Wayfair, hitting close to an all-time high. Restoration Hardware, we talked about this, hit another high today.
Yeah.
Crazy. And this price hike that's happening is happening with oil prices depressed. This is like Geico telling me they're giving me a 15% discount because during the period of the coronavirus lockdowns, there was a lot less driving, therefore a lot less risk, therefore they can kick back money, right? So I get my bill, and it's higher than last period with the rebate. Because I said, what's happening? I said, well, due to a general increase of accidents and claims, not by me, but across your area, Fort Lauderdale, maybe South Florida, we've increased the rates. And they increased it to a point that the money they gave me back was not enough to even cover the increase. So they're collecting more on me, even though they gave me a
gouge. It's a gouge.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
They're gouging everybody.
Yeah. Social media.
Well, you know, when you have a situation like this, the gougers come out.
Well, but they tell you they're not gouging. They tell you they're giving you money back. And everybody's like, wonderful job. Thank you, State Farm. Thank you, Travelers. Thank you, Geico. Wonderful. Progressive, you're wonderful. But then we get the reality check here. I'm kind of curious if anybody that's listening, if they also got a new bill and if, in fact, their bill was that much lower or they increased it. It's like a store that says, hey, we're giving you a 50% discount on this, but we just raised the price 400%. But there's a discount on it now. You know, we're marking it up to mark it down. Social media, Twitter fact-checking President Trump. So he threatened to regulate or shut down the social media companies a day after they added a warning.
No, he's going for it.
What's that?
He's going for it. He's going to put some stuff in play. It's going to put these guys behind the eight ball.
But this is his best platform.
No, they're not taking him off. He's going to still keep using it as his platform.
But what is he going to do? He's going to put in something that strong arms him enough so they can say whatever he wants?
Well, he's already saying whatever he wants.
Right.
I hope. Yep. If he's not saying whatever he wants, I can't imagine what next level there is.
Yep. And by the way, speaking of Twitter, is there service in the bunker, right? There's service in the White House bunker? Because there wasn't a lot of Twitters going on Friday night when he was in the bunker.
I have no idea.
Mm. So I thought that was pretty special when he cleared the way so he'd go over to the church last night. That was a special one. You see that whole maneuver?
No, I wasn't paying attention to that.
You didn't see what happened?
No, what happened?
So 20 minutes before he gives his speech in the Rose Garden, all of a sudden, all these peaceful protesters that were a bit agitated, all of a sudden, there's tear gas being thrown at them, and the police are running with their shields and actually mowing people down and pushing them aside.
No.
I watched this with I'm like, what's happening? I'm like, maybe President Trump wants to clear him before he talks or something. I don't know what's going on, right? He starts talking. He does the thing. Then he walks with the crowd, the whole gang, okay? And they're walking, and they go across the street to the church so he could do a photo op with a Bible in front of the church that's all boarded up. And then he walks back. Supposedly Barr is the one that ordered the tear gas and the clearing.
Yeah, it could be.
The horses were kind of like clopping around and stuff. It was really quite a scene. Economics yeah, coming up this week. We have ISM YouTube. Manufacturing. We have that at 43.1 that came out on Monday. ADP out tomorrow morning at, I don't know, 8:45, I think. Minus 11 million is the expectation. Factory orders on Wednesday, negative 15%. ISM services below the 50 at 46.5. Initial claims, another 2 million expected to be unemployed. Non-farm payrolls on Friday, another 10 million to be added to the unemployment and an unemployment rate of 20%. You know what I say about that? Bullish.
I was wondering what your punchline was going to be, but it was something. I knew it was something like that.
Bullish. Buy stocks, man. How much worse can it get? Can't get any worse than this.
Hey, the old rule.
Yeah.
Buy on bad news, sell on good.
Right.
No good news.
Right. And this is the best recession ever. The best recession. But the question I have is, you know, there's a big spread between like Main Street and Wall Street, which you talked about. What happens when the stimulus runs out? They're just going to re-up it?
Well, yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Right?
More stimulus.
Yeah. July 31st is the date when supposedly the $600 per week, that is the excess unemployment that is going to be paid by the federal government on top of any state unemployment that you can get, is going to end. Already Mitch McConnell said, hey, we're not going to be updating that. No, I don't know. So
That's not a bad Mitch McConnell you do there.
You just got to talk only with your tongue in the back of the throat and wobble your throat a little bit like this. And you got to do shush. You got to do shush. So, but he said we're not gonna re-up this. But now already the White House is talking about the next level of stimulus. And again, listen, we are in an election cycle, and if we can buy the votes or at least calm the people down for a little while longer, I would adventure to say that the probability is that there'll be a move to go from July or the August, September of another 4 months. Just squarely into November. What do you think about that? Possible?
That's more than possible.
Yeah. So the question I have for you is, with all the things that we're seeing with the best recession ever, with all this bad news being good news for the markets, what could change all this? We've listed all the possible things. I mean, hurricanes and riots and stampedes and potential martial law. And by the way, you know, these riots or these protests are not just here in the United States. They're crazy, crazy all around the world.
Yes, because people I know in Auckland, for example, New Zealand, there's the same riots, same organizations, because those people in New Zealand are really very concerned about the black people of Minnesota.
That's what I mean.
They talk about it a lot.
Yeah. They're troubled. Their hearts are wrenching.
They're troubled by our police, the way we police in the United States, those people in New Zealand. They're very upset.
Yep.
So,
but what could change all this? I mean, what could actually happen?
I can tell you what would change the whole thing and drive it in the other direction as fast as you can imagine.
What is that?
The election of Joe Biden for president.
That's true. That's a truism.
There's no way this market's going to go like this if Joe Biden gets elected. It'll be something to watch if it happens. I mean, I don't think it's possible that he can get elected, but it, you know, the way things, you never know. I mean, nobody thought Trump was going to get elected, and there he is.
I mean,
that thing will collapse. The whole country will go down the toilet.
I mean, I've watched. I can't watch him very long because it bothers me. Not what he's saying or what he's doing. It's just how he does it. Like I feel it's all labored. Like I feel like I get nervous. That he's going to keel over and just drop. You know, seriously, it bothers me.
If you watch, he does maybe two or three events a day, maybe three from his little bunker there. And by the time he gets to the third one, he is so pooped. He talks so slow, like he just needs to go to bed. And it's just, it's just unbelievable when he's at the end of the day for him. It's just, that's when he starts making all his mistakes.
I mean, he fumfers a lot. He fumfers over his words.
Oh, no, all the time.
Yeah. Here is a fascinating thing. This is a follow-up. It seems that this de-urbanization trend that we've been talking about and kind of thinking about and thinking and really speculating about, right, the possibility that people don't want to be stuck in an apartment in Manhattan or Chicago or maybe even San Francisco because, you know, what happens if this happens again, dealing with elevators and people and not getting out?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand why they didn't think about this in the first place when they moved into these high-rise apartments.
Right. Well, Redfin CEO Glenn Kelman, he had an interview today on CNBC. He says, and I quote, a mass migration of people out of large cities due to COVID-19 and the remote work that's available and the ongoing protests. Well, the ongoing protest has started, so whatever. Now, don't forget, he has a little bit of desire to pump up the whole idea of buying a house somewhere else, you know, buying a home. But nonetheless, I am seeing this from builders that I know, real estate agents, that people are really buying up land, buying up houses. A lot of people coming down here. I got to tell you, the New Yorkers are going to be all over the place down here.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be flooded with New Yorkers.
Flooded with New Yorkers that think they know more about Florida being here 5 minutes, especially the ones in Boca. Oh, can't do it. Darling, how are you? You know what I mean? No, I can't do it. But this is going to be an interesting situation here. And, boat sales. You know, you think, well, people don't have money.
Well, what are some of the, let's go over this. What are some of the investment opportunities if this trend kicks it up a notch?
I mean, get single family homes and home builders in that area. Well, Home Depot, of course.
Right. Real estate prices are going to go up further.
Yep. They'll drop on the multifamily and commercial. That I really do believe.
Yes. Yeah, so that actually drags the whole market down a little bit.
Right.
But you have then that splits at some point. You have with two real estate markets. You have the commercial multi whatever you call it apartments, and then you have the single family dwellings. And single family dwellings should skyrocket in value.
You would think that that's definitely going to be a major building opportunity. So you have things like lumber price. Let's go over the whole range. You got lumber prices, copper. Materials that build houses. You got Home Depot for upgrades and for painting, getting ready for sale. Lowe's, of course, Sherwin-Williams, for that matter, you can have that. There's a Beacon Roofing company that may have to replace your roof before you move out. You can go down the list of all those things that are related to the housing market entirely. Then you have the home builders. You have other companies like Winnebago and Thor Industries, for example. You have the other things I talk about, boats. You have West Marine, potentially. You have Malibu Boats, Brunswick, I believe. I don't know if they still have... they still own Sea Ray. So Brunswick, which is a variety of things there. You have Honeywell, which makes a lot of things for the smart home. Lighting companies, for that matter. I mean, you kind of go down the list.
Huh.
That's just off the top of my head, by the way. So there's probably a lot more than that. A lot more than that.
It'd be a good list to put together.
Yep. Banking.
Take that list and make it the new Codger's list.
It could. We could put it into the de-urbanization.
Put that up against the millennials.
Right. So this is actually, you can have a de-urbanization list against the stay-at-home list, which is your Zooms.
That should be a slaughter.
Yep. Let me write this down and see if I can do this.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let me more work for me. Let me put this down.
Stay at home. You love it. Well, there's that investment opportunities. You're going to run into something that's going to be a super winner.
That's true. All right, I got that listed. Banking is not quite over. Wells Fargo stopped making loans to independent car dealerships based on default concerns. Yeah. And finally, okay, in this segment, Zoom Video. Zoom Video beat by 10 cents, which was big because they were only expecting 10 cents. That's a beat to double. Guides EPS above consensus. Revenues above consensus. Guides fiscal year 2021 above consensus. Revenues above consensus. And as you would expect, after hours, the stock is down. This is the shit we live in. Well, the stock is up 200% for the year. So that's
well, not. Well, yeah, it needs to go down someday. This was just the sell on good news element, which we discussed already.
Right. I mentioned this is the time of the show that we say and we ask and we say, you know what? If you want to donate, you can do so to the cause, to the show, to help us out with all things that we do on a regular basis here to bring you DH Unplugged each and every Tuesday night through COVID craziness and lockdowns, through curfews that we're here, nor rain, nor sleet, nor snow. We will be here for the most part. And I see a lot of people in the chat room tonight, so I guess it's everybody's sick of watching either the COVID TV or the curfew TV or the riot TV. So
yeah, that's all there is, riot TV. Right. Yeah, the curfew TV, but the COVID TV is taking a beating anyway.
Yeah, that's rough. So if you would go over to DH Unplugged and click on the donate button, the little yellow button there that's in there, and donate whatever it is, $5 a week, $5 a month, $5 once, $50, whatever it is, we are very much appreciative of that. It does help us out and bring to you some of the best podcasting, not the best podcasting in the universe, but the best podcast in the country. We can go down to that level, maybe.
Definitely one of the best ones.
Yep. I'll mention that DH Unplugged, we have a winner. Wiener. We have a winner for the close to the pin for Intuit. And it was a close one. We had a few people that were really doing pretty well. Dame Tanya, who's on with us this evening. I see her in the chat room. She was holding the number one spot for a while there, and I was rooting for her, but didn't play out pretty well towards the end. So the winner of Intuit, which, let's see, the price came in final at $290.32. The average entry was $281.22. You said $274.50. I said $284.10. I was 2% away. You were 5% away. But the winner came in 0.09% away. That's Ryan L. I believe he's from New York City. So we sent him a one-of-a-kind T-shirt.
That's really nailing it. How,
pretty good. Well, listen.
I'm amazed when somebody gets that close. He's two cents off.
Number two came in 32 cents off. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. All right. We have we started a little bit late here, so we have a little bit of time to throw in some limericks because we are way off on the limericks. I'm going to try to get these out, take a little sip to wet the whistles. All right. Federal limericks. The first one's from Jerry Adams, and he says, I got to get my pad.
That's
out.
That's Jeremy. Well, Jeremy.
So I started reading wrong already. Okay. Jeremy Adams, and of course the
Jeremy,
chat room.
Yeah.
Yep, we're going to ask him to the chat room to grade it from A+ or whatever it is down to F, of course, okay? As John does his work to go through it. Trump's Burks and Fauci are funny. As long as my nose isn't runny, the press is a joke. We're all going broke. ETF. Just give me free money.
No, not ETF. F it.
Oh, is that what it says? Oh, yeah. F it. Just give me either one. I was wondering what the ETF point was. I read that three times before I actually put it up here.
So F it.
So my reading will give me an F, but continue on.
Your reading was mediocre there, that's for sure. Yeah. You know, it started off with the brick. It sounded like it's going to be a COVID thing, and then he kind of wandered off to a different topic. I mean, obviously this is one of those guys who came up with the Trump, Burks, and Fauci are funny. He had a kind of line with runny. And then he goes on and he starts talking about the media and then the market. We're all going broke. And then he talks about free money. It's well done, but it's discombobulated.
Disjointed.
I'm giving it a C.
Oh boy. Next one is from Steve DeMeo. There was a pandemic world shock that put all the punter in hock. Global Fed chairs pumped up our shares, leaving us all to take stock. Yeah, see, that doesn't work.
I'm not the right number of anything there. That I think punters should be punters.
Punters that put all the punters? What does that punters even mean?
It's a Britishism.
Oh,
look it up.
I guess. Yeah.
So this is another C.
Let's say the traders in stock. It's just C. Okay, well, there you go. Jeff. C. All right, last one we'll do tonight. Let's see, which one is that? Jeff. Jeff Zellin is up next. Coronavirus feels like a curse. I don't think it could get any worse. The state locks us in. The kids are under my skin. My escape is writing this verse.
Ah, now here's one that was put together concisely, good rhyming, and I'm going to give this guy an A minus.
So if he would have done that other line that said, the kids are under my skin, if it said, the state locks us in, the kids under my skin, without not the kids are, right? Just the kids under my skin, my escape is writing this verse. That would have been, I think that would have been great.
Well, it got an A minus, so it had flaws.
Yeah.
But it still was, at least it was the best of the day.
It's Jeff Z. Let me see something. What's the other guy's name? Steve. Okay. Send in your Fed limericks over to dhemail@dhunplugged.com. And we'll be happy to go through that with you and put it on there if you have the cojones to to have it graded and all that. So check it out.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Now, let me just say a couple of things about this. First of all, I think it's getting to be the time that those ventilator companies that we just tracked them kind of move them off. I don't think there's any reason.
Can we keep them on one more show?
Keep them on forever if you want. I just thought maybe, you know.
No, I know what you mean because ventilators aren't a thing anymore. Right. But I'm just, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't you just leave Medtronic on there and see what happens? I'd like to follow that company. Well, actually, let me just put it. I just put Medtronic on my list, and then you can take the other ones off.
You're starting out with a 26% upside. All right, I'm going to change this over to you then. I'll put this onto you. I'll just change this. You know what I'm saying? I'll say JC.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Didn't get the other two off. They haven't provided any serious information for us.
A couple other things I want to mention. We went to 20% on the stops on the last few of them. So. Yes. That's something
for good reason.
Yeah. So,
but we still got kicked off.
Exactly. Tesla, you got kicked off on that. I mean, unfortunately you had a good SpaceX launch, and you had Elon Musk getting his, what is it? $750 million first bonus that if you get the stock over the company over a certain capitalization that he'd get paid that bonus, and he got $750 million. Nicely done.
Because he needs the money.
Yeah, Weight Watchers down 5.5%. A very volatile moves on all this stuff. Alphabet is short on your side, down 3%. Moderna, you nailed that. By the way, that number that you hit, that 55.36, I want to say that even though it wasn't anything you picked, but it was a 20% number, I want to say that you got really close to, I got to look at that.
Not getting kicked off.
No, you got kicked. You got kicked, I think. I got to look at that. But because it came back up a little bit. But you, I don't think I coded that in. Let me see that. No, you did. That's done. That's done. Yeah, it's done. You're right. It's done. 55.36. You're done. So it came down and then came back up. So it was down. I got flushed. But that was kind of the level. It was really good. And then it just came right back up. I'm not sure what it is right now, but it came back really well.
Well, I'm still at almost 30% gain on that little guy.
Then you got Planet Fitness, which, I don't know. Everybody's going back to the gym, I guess. So that got kicked off, and Cisco Systems still
good. I don't know what the hell happened there. But wasn't Planet Fitness your pick?
Yeah, that was mine.
Oh, yeah. You got booted.
Yep. I'm going to wave the white flag this week. Some people in the chat room are talking about guns. You got VSTO. You got
The gun plays are
Smith and Wesson. Smith and Wesson.
What's the best one? Just put one, any of them on there.
I wonder if there's like an ETF labeled guns. There's another company too that went up like crazy today. They have a device where it shoots out. It's a 9-foot Kevlar string with weights on it, and it shoots you and it wraps around you really quickly and just tightens up. So if you're running away from the cops, you kind of like it gets you like you're doing a calf wrapping, roping.
Yeah, right.
I think it's called Rapster or
calf
something like
roping.
That. Yeah. We can put a gun company on, VSTO. We can put on Smith & Wesson. They changed their name back from AOBC.
Put it on as a joint pick. Come on.
Which one? VSTO?
Well, you have the better machine there. What's the one that looks the best?
I don't have them right here, all that stuff. I'm on my studio, so I don't have all that right here. We'll put VSTO. Okay. I actually like Smith & Wesson better.
No, let's put Swiss and Wesson oil.
Let's see. Control T.
Yeah, Smith & Wesson. I got one more short for the day.
Let me see what is the change? SWHC. Is that what I put? Let me just look. I put SWCH. SWHC. Joint pick. AH/JCD. Okay. I'm going to say guns. Guns. Okay, got it.
Guns are good.
All right.
You got a short.
Oh.
This is based on chart action. I don't think there's any upside here. I think it's only downside. And IBM.
IBM, crap. What a bad company. Bad company. Can't do anything right, that company. I agree with
you. I'm picking them short. I'm going short IBM.
Okay, that's short.
I think that's a good pick.
I keep on putting the wrong place, short. I'm not working
with 20% just because of the
chart action. All right. I can't type tonight. Everything I do is wrong. There we go. Okay. IBM, and we got S, and this is a buy. That's a short. I got it. By golly, I got it. Okay. Let's save. All right. Well, I guess we're running out of time here, and I will see you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.